Do you feel continually let down by modern media? Do you miss the good old days, back when all that mattered was a good story and not some agenda? Do you have ambitions of picking up a pen and pad and fighting the creative war yourself? Then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'm going to talk to a creator who said enough is enough and started making the content they wished was out there. Join us as we discuss the ups and downs of the self-publishing world. We want to help empower you to join the Iron Age of media. Welcome to Iron Age Marketing. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Iron Age Marketing. I am Nikki P, here as always. Today's guest is Joseph Knowles, the man behind Silence and Starsong Magazine. How are we doing today, Joseph?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So, going over your sheet here, we had an interesting little tidbit that you snuck in here. And since I like to start talking about the guest first, you're a lawyer by training, but got into writing. How does that transition work?
Yeah, well, it's kind of been something that I did a little bit on the side over the last few years. If you're familiar with National Novel Writing Month, you know, where folks try to write 50,000 words of a new novel in the month of November, I figured I tried to give that a shot a few years ago. And from there, I made it work. But then I really kind of decided that I liked it. So I kind of kept at it, sold a couple of short stories published here and there. And I've just kind of kept it up because I enjoy doing it.
Now, I've never heard of National Novel Writing Month, but I'm curious, why they choose November? Because, like, I know here in my household, November is when we're gearing up doing all the extra work for Christmas, and there's no time for extra writing that month.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why they chose November. And so you've got Thanksgiving when, yeah, like you say, there's a lot of family stuff going on, and it's 30 days rather than 31 days. So I'm not exactly sure why they went with that, but it kind of increases the degree of difficulty, I guess.
Just make it as difficult as it's possibly going to be. Yeah. You know, they could have chose February for that month, true. Too. Like, and it only happens on leap years or whatever it is, so you got 28 days. Right on. Well, tell me a little bit about Silence and Starsong Magazine also. You start doing this novel writing month, but that's a big jump to going from novels to putting out a magazine.
Mm-hmm. I was in a group chat with some of the other folks who are involved, and we'd be talking about weird stuff that would come up in the news, and every now and again somebody would say, that would make a good story for my novel, or, you know, that's a good idea for a novel. And we kind of joked about it for a while, and then after a little while we said, well, actually, we should try to actually write some of these stories and put some of them down, and we can just, you know, trade them back and forth. And from there it kind of morphed into, well, if we're really going to do this, why don't we take the stuff that we write and actually, you know, put it together and try to make a magazine out of it? And from there, we decided, well, we might not have enough ideas to fill a full thing by ourselves. So why don't we, you know, throw the idea out there and see if some other folks would be willing to contribute and just kind of see what happens. And kind of the idea was, we had all really enjoyed the, there's a set of books by C.S. Lewis. They're probably less familiar to most folks. Most folks know The Chronicles of Narnia, or maybe they've heard of The Screwtape Letters, but maybe fewer have heard of his, it's either called The Space Trilogy or The Ransom Trilogy. I think Lewis actually called it his Planet books. So Out of the Silent Planet, Paralandra, and That Hideous Strength are the three book titles. And we had really enjoyed those.
My wife's been trying to get me to read them with her for years now.
You should.
I plan on it. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I know how that is. The to-be-read list is ever-growing and never-shrinking, I know. So we kind of enjoyed those and wanted to tell some stories kind of in that same vein, and really didn't see a lot of other, at least at the time, we had not found a lot of other authors that were kind of writing those same kind of stories. So we decided, well, if nobody else is doing it and we want to see it done, then we should just go ahead and do it. And that was also one of the motivating factors.
I find that greed is such a good motivator. I can't tell you how many awesome things are started because I just wanted more of this. So I thought I'd go and make more of it.
Yeah.
Or make it so other people would make more of it. ultimately, you know, I just say it on the show, one of the reasons I started the podcast was to help people be able to monetize what they do so that I can listen to more of the stuff I want to hear.
There you go.
And it's easier for them to keep going if they're getting paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, there seems to be more and more magazines popping up. How long have you guys been doing this?
Let's see. I think the first official thing we did was to create a Twitter account to kind of get involved in the, hashtag Iron Age kind of conversations and start things that way. So we started that last summer, and then try to start generating some interest was to do these flash fiction contests. So we come up with a prompt and say, hey, send us a story, 1,000 words or less. And then we, you know, put those up on the website and try to identify authors and readers both that way. And then last December, we took submissions and got several of those. And since it was my first time trying to, you know, lay out a magazine, help with editing, work with authors, that kind of thing, it took us a little while, but eventually we got all the stories read, picked the ones that we liked the best, and put that out in April. So it actually came out on April 1st, which was not intentional.
Okay. And given that there are more and more people starting to do this now, which I love it, more short stories is always good for me. What kind of separates yours from everybody else's? Is there a different angle that you approach things from that makes it more interesting, I guess?
Sure. And like I said, it kind of started with C.S. Lewis, but we put right there in our submission guidelines, like all the folks involved with this are Christians. So we're looking for stories that are not antithetical to our worldview. It's not that we've published folks from all different faith or at least Christian faith traditions. Famously, Tolkien and Lewis were very good friends, and the Inklings, but one was an Anglican and one was a Catholic. So they didn't find that to be such an insurmountable difference that they couldn't be friends, read each other's stories, give feedback, that kind of thing. So I think that's the main thing, is we're not going to publish anything that puts down Christianity, cast, you know, you see this trope now where if there's a religious person or a priest or something in a television show, like he's cast as the villain, right? And maybe not in explicit terms, but there's always like something beneath the surface. He's hiding something, those kind of things. So we want to portray these things positively and kind of put those values into the stories that we publish. That's not to say, we also say this where I first heard the quote attributed to Jim Butcher, and it's to the effect that you should never preach more than you entertain. So we don't want to put out, you know, glorified Sunday school lessons that are just meant to only teach some kind of, you know, succinct lesson, but stories that are good, because we think that's a value of our worldview too, to tell things that are good and true. So I think those are some of the things that kind of set us apart.
I come from like the libertarian world, and one of the things that they struggle with is, you know, they got lots of people that want to make art, but they focus so much on the message that the art's usually pretty crappy, mm-hmm. and the message never gets out there. The notable exception, I will say, is I think Ayn Rand wrote some pretty good books, if you like long-winded books.
Yes.
But like every time I hear like a quote-unquote libertarian musician, I just shake my head and like... You couldn't have spent a little bit more time learning how to craft a song, buddy.
Yep. Very similar phenomenon.
I won't say like there's even a whole lot of difference when it comes to like most of the music in the Christian music scene. A lot of it, I guess there's a reason we call it worship music, and it can be judged by its own standard. It's like, oh, it's those guys over there doing their thing.
Right.
So... what I'm getting at is I appreciate the fact that you're making a point to understand that craft is important. And yeah, it's awesome to have a message, but if you write crappy stories, no one's going to want to read them. So.
Right. Yep. And that actually ends up undermining the message you want to get across.
Yes. So now I'm curious, like this, you say that there's like a group that this kind of all founded out of. How many people are in that group? Are there the names that we'd recognize, or were you allowed to talk about that, or you just choose to go by the Silence and Stars?
Yeah. There's the five of us, and they have varying degrees of online anonymity that I think they want to maintain.
That's okay.
But no big names either. It's just, you know, just a group of guys.
Just a bunch of guys. All right. Now, you've put out the first issue in April. Are there plans to continue putting out issues? How often would you like to do that?
Yes, we definitely plan to do future issues. We're looking at trying to ask for submissions again in the month of September. So, and that seemed to be a good time period for us to allow folks to get stuff sent in. So right now, the plan is to do 2 issues per year with the kind of online only flash fiction things a little more often. So maybe doing 4 or 5, a handful of those per year, and then 2 print issues. I mean, the dream would be to be able to do it more often, you know, up to quarterly. It's just, we're still getting going and how that can go.
Yeah, I just finished editing and putting out my episode with Chris Sova, and you know, he's been at it a while, and it's even now, like, they've been doing it since 2016, and they're still learning things every issue.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of backtrack a little bit, I skipped over it, but so you're doing all this, you're trained as a lawyer. Like, do you have kind of any background aside from that in as far as like creating a magazine, or you just, you know, decided to go right in?
Yeah, I did kind of jump into the deep end. I mean, being a lawyer, at least the kind of lawyering that I did before, was it's just reading and writing. So those are kind of important skills, I think. As far as like how to lay everything out, I'm glad you mentioned Kursova, because I more or less shamelessly copied a lot of his formatting, because, you know, I got one of his issues, like, I really like the way this looks. So if flattery is the imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, then he should feel very honored.
Okay. And what is it that you do for a day job outside of this? If you're, let's say, like, you're balancing the family, obviously, in work with this passion project, how's that all look?
Sure. Well, I have the advantage of being able to work from home almost exclusively. So my job requires that I come in every other week, one day a week. So every other day I'm here. And that, you know, that gives me a lot of time. What I do is cyber policy analyst is my job title. And so the company that I work for does research, but they're also regulated by levels of the government. So I have to, you know, take government regulations and orders and all that kind of stuff. So again, more reading and writing.
So the absolute worst job imaginable. I'm just thinking of reading government policy all day. It sounds like, can I put a gun in my mouth fast enough? So you, my friend, are some kind of saint as far as I can tell.
maybe so. We'll find out. But yeah, that, you know, that, so the commute is walking from downstairs to upstairs. And that gives me a lot of time, you know, in the morning, I'm the first one up in the house. So that's kind of when it's quiet. I try to get things done. Then even if it's just 30 or 45 minutes at a time, I can pull out and work on reading a story or editing one of my own things and those kind of things. So yeah, the job setup as it is right now certainly lends itself to being able to do something like that.
But the family setup, your wife is okay with things. She's like, she's taking on this, you know, new celebrity status, as it would be.
I mean, she'll look at it, and occasionally I'll ask her, hey, will you, you know, read this and tell me what you think? And sometimes more begrudgingly than other times, she'll read it for me and say, hey, did you think about this? And, you know, oftentimes she actually will catch some things that I didn't catch, or like, does this sentence mean what you probably, this is what it looks like to me. Is that what you meant? So it's nice to have another set of eyes, but I also don't want to go, you know, overburden her with that, because it's not really her thing.
Yeah. Well, that was what I was getting at. Is she like a science fiction and fantasy kind of person herself, or is it just humoring you because she loves you?
Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. Although, yeah, without any prompting from me, maybe a month or two ago, she, at the used bookstore, she found this complete set of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings books. And they're these little kind of like fake leather bound, you know, pocket sized books.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So she grabbed that and just started reading them. So I thought, well, this is great. So I've, you know, tried to encourage that a little bit.
I will encourage anyone to read more anarchists out there. So. So kind of moving along, getting into the marketing part of things. So how did you start spreading the word? You've got this new thing out there. What was the first way that you started trying to draw attention to what you were doing?
Yeah, the first thing that we did was, it was on Twitter, if we're still calling that. I'll probably always call it that.
It'll always be called Twitter by the old people.
Yeah. So it was pretty much exclusively, you know, doing some Twitter threads on some topics that were of interest to us and trying to spread things that way. And then I think it also, that gives a way to a little bit of word of mouth, where somebody might see it online and tell somebody else that they know. We've done so it's all been online and trying to build those kind of relationships. We would like to do more if we can get some funds worked up to, you know, maybe get a print ad in some of these other magazines that we've already made connections with or would have potentially some overlap in readership. So we're looking into that as well.
Well, I will say this. If you guys would like an ad up on my website, by all means, we'll talk and get an image. So I'd love to promote what you're doing. Now, as far as the fundraising, what type of model did you guys use? Did you do Kickstarter, Indiegogo kind of thing? Or did you like just make it yourself, put it up on Amazon and see what happens?
Yeah, that's what we did. And we talked a little bit about trying, you know, Kickstarter or Patreon, those kind of things. But ultimately, I had a little bit of money from a story that I sold to Trusova. So I, you know, threw that in the pot and said, hey, we'll use this to get started. And it wasn't a ton, but it was enough to kind of, you know, get things rolling. And I guess out of the goodness of their hearts and in exchange for having their name on something published and a free author's copy, you know, folks were willing to send us some stuff that we could publish. Now, hopefully, I mean, we want to get to the place where, you know, the verse in the Bible that says the worker is worthy of his wage. So we want to be able to, hey, if you're sending us something, we're not paying you just in publicity, which is not much coming from us to begin with. But like what you are exchanging with us is something of value. So we want to exchange value for value and get to the point where we can be, you know, maybe not professional rates, because I don't see us getting that big that quickly, but enough to say, hey, your time and effort is worth something, and we want to make sure you're compensated for that.
So, given like the background and kind of the way that you try and keep things, I'm curious. I mean, have you tried to capitalize on the angle with you know, being a Christian friendly publication? Is that like part of the marketing that you guys have? Have you gotten into any I don't want to say like deals with any, you know, with any church organizations, but have you, you know, considered going that route, finding ways to advertise within that community specifically?
Yes. So I've been fortunate to have a few guys within the group who do have some connections to some other organizations, and they're kind of working those connections as we speak. And hopefully that'll be fruitful, because, you know, there's kind of a general complaint in, you know, broader right-wing circles, right, where you'll see complaint about there's no good art anymore. Why don't we have these great, you know, the beautiful sculptures and the cathedrals and those kind of things? Why don't we have media and stories that are not, you know, put out by people who hate us, to use the phrase? And so, I mean, I've already said that's kind of what we're trying to do. But, you know, there are the outlets that can, you know, they have a platform to kind of throw a spotlight on some of these things. So hopefully we can work those connections and kind of get the name out there and show people like it's not a wasteland. You might have to work a little bit harder to find it, but it's out there if you're willing to look for it.
Well, and it's about putting, like, the reason we don't have all the things they want is sheer economics. Like they're allowing their money to go to companies like BlackRock that spend it on crap that they don't want to be out in the world. And I'm sorry to say that, like, if you want the art that you want, and you want to spend money on it, good art is expensive. You know, you don't cut marble cheap. you know, they don't build churches like they used to, because they don't build anything like they used to. Stone buildings are incredibly expensive. So, you know, it's much easier to throw a stick frame up. So it's this idea of like the beautiful permanent art that they're used to and they think of is from a time when people were willing to spend money on that. So until they start directing funds and like voting with their dollars, it's the frustration to me, like, you know, because I think of, you know, like all day we listen to conservatives complain about, oh, you know, ESG scores. I'm like, and every one of your retirement funds is backstopping everything BlackRock does. So until you decide to move your money out and put it somewhere else, you're your own worst enemy.
Yep. There's the phenomena that I've observed, and I've seen it both in the Christian circles and in libertarian circles. Like, you know, I'm a big Tom Woods fan, but he'll talk about this often where, you know, he puts out a podcast episode every day that's totally available for free. And it's, you know, fantastic show in my opinion. But then if he tries to, you know, hey, I have this other thing over here on the side, and if you would like it, here's what it costs. And people just, you know, freak out over that. You see a similar thing in Christian circles where it's, oh, like you're a plumber, I'd like to give you my business because I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. But hey, how about a little discount since we're both Christians? Like, well, no, like pay the person what their labor is worth. And if they want to give you a discount, that's fine. But it shouldn't be expected because, hey, we're ideologically or religiously aligned. Therefore, I should get a special deal. Maybe, I mean, and again, free exchange. And that's, you know, I'm in favor of that. But don't go in expecting like, I'm not actually going to pay what this is worth. I can get the beautiful art, the marble sculpture for bargain basement prices. No, you can't.
Yeah. Well, and one of my friends he's always been of the mind. It's like, even if they offer it, I usually don't take it when someone offers me a discount because these are my friends. I want them to be successful. I'm going to pay them what they're worth. I don't want to take advantage of these people. And, you know, by all means, you know, you do what you're going to do. There's a reason some people offer, you know, deals and things of that nature. But the idea is if you want to support the people around you, you got to kind of pay to support them. Now, looking forward, do you have any big ideas as far as ways to build up and make the next issue bigger than the first?
Yeah, that's something that we've actively been talking about. So one thing that we did was to set up a Discord server where folks can come in and, you know, we've got several of the contributing authors that have joined in there. All the folks have been working with editors are also in there. And that's just more to generate conversation, maybe generate story ideas, and kind of build a community, for lack of a better word. Maybe that's the perfect word. I don't know. So that's one thing. And we've had, you know, just yesterday afternoon, we actually just jumped into one of the voice channels and we're shooting the breeze with a bunch of folks. And that seemed to be enjoyable. So I think that's one thing that we've done that will hopefully generate some interest. And also thinking about, well, can we add something to just the flash fiction contests in the print magazine? So there's an idea we're just kicking around in very preliminary stages is having kind of alternate history might be the best word, but like developing a setting and then finding authors that we would love to work with and kind of inviting them to write a story within that setting. So think of something like, I'm thinking of Larry Correa's, like the Monster Hunter International anthologies. So he's kind of already built this world and say, hey, I like this author, I like this author. Hey, come and write within this setting and see what we can put together.
Come play in my sandbox.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to say too much more than that. I think we've got a really interesting setting once we build it out a little bit more that folks will be interested in. But like I said, that's kind of very preliminary. So, but that's something else we'd like to do. And that would be in addition to the, you know, the other print magazine. So not sure what, if that'd be a magazine format or a book, something like that.
Well, and I know like with Cursova, they've got like the magazine, but then they've got the outside editions of just kind of collections that they like to put out too. You know, as we were talking in that episode, it's nice to have different things, different sources of income. It's been a fantastic conversation. Where can we send people to learn more and to pick up copies of the magazine?
Sure. The magazine for now is just on Amazon. But if you go to silenceandstarsong.com, the landing page there will have a link where you can click directly onto the Amazon page where you can pick up the magazine. It'll also connect you to our little used Facebook page and our somewhat more used Twitter profile. That's where we're doing most things now, but we'll be looking to expand that. But yeah, the silenceandstarsong.com Drupal.com webpage is where you can find all of our stuff. There's also some free stories there, the flash fiction stuff that we put out already.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Joseph. And everyone, go check it out. Grab a copy for yourself and enjoy. Do you fancy yourself the next Tolkien, Lewis, or Barker? Maybe you just have something subversive to say. Hopefully this podcast is helping you. But maybe your ambitions are just a little bigger than you can handle on your own. Head over to ironagemarketing.com and let Nikki P. help ensure your book doesn't release to nobody.